Good morning. It is 9:06 on Wednesday, January 3rd, 2018. I will call the City Council, Dallas City Council, briefing meeting in order today. We will start with invocation, and then Mr. Narvaez will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Our invocator this morning is an old friend of mine, and she is the senior pastor of Hamilton Park United Methodist Church in Mr. McGue's district. The daughter of a school teacher and a policeman, Dr. Patterson grew up in Charlotte. She's the first African American woman ordained in the ordained an elder in the North Texas Conference of the United Methodist Church. Dr. Patterson sits on the Board of Trustees of Southern Methodist University and Methodist Health System Board of Directors. She's written 8 books and also works to promote understanding between the police and African American communities. She holds degrees from Spelman and Perkins School of Theology. She and her husband, Robert, have been married for 33 years and are parents of 2 adult children, one of the most important leaders, female or otherwise, in the city of Dallas. Thank you for gracing us with your presence and giving us the invocation this morning. All rise.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious God, the one that sits high and looks low, Lord, as we begin 2018, we pause to give you all the honor, glory, and praise. For you, O Lord, are the one who underwrote the very budget of this day, and we say thank you. You are the one who has poured strength into our bodies to do this job, and we say thank you. Your prophet Isaiah said that you are doing a new thing, and we have the audacity of faith to believe it. So we call down new hope for the homeless. We call down new mercy for the poor. We call down new justice for the imprisoned. We call down new joy for the oppressed. We call down new safety for our first responders. And we call down new perseverance to our city leaders. Lord, cover our mayor and the city council and the city directors with your grace and your glory. Lord, dip them down once, twice, and a third time that they might stand tall on your word and make a difference in this city. And God, we ask it all in your holy and righteous name. And together we say with great joy, amen.
Mr. Caraway.
Dr. Patterson, just wanted to say before you, Dr. Patterson, just wanted to say Happy New Year and thank you for that opening prayer and that blessing on this city council for this fabulous year that we're going to have in 2018. Just wanted to commend you for all that you've done, you continue to do, and your leadership and your prayers for the city.
Hear him. Thank you. A little process check, especially since we have some cameras there this morning. Good morning. All right. We're going to take our open microphone speakers. We have to approve the minutes, and then we have to consider some appointees to the board, some board commissions. At that point, though, we're going to go into executive session on briefing A before we get the briefing. So you, unless you want to take pictures of all that other stuff, you can. We'll bring you back for briefing A at that point, and make an open session. But we're going to have a executive session before that, and then we'll do B and the rest of the meeting. We only have one executive a closed session item, so that'll be the end of the morning. Okay. So with that, we'll take our open microphone speakers.
Thank you. Good morning. Your first 5 registered speakers this morning will be Paul Stewart, Regina Ambrosia, Dolores Phillips, John Grindle, and Yvonne Denise Hodge. I'll recite the speaker guidelines. Speakers must observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any speaker making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who becomes boisterous while addressing the City Council shall be removed. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the timer at the monitor in front of you. When your time is up, please stop. Address any comments to Mayor Rawlins. Also, if you have any handouts, go ahead and hand it to the officer to my right, as it will affect your speaking time. Your first
Johnson,
speaker.
Yeah, thank you. I'm not sure your mic was working or something. Yeah.
Your first speaker, Paul Stewart. Not present. Regina Ambrosia.
Good morning. My name is Regina Ambrosia. Happy New Year, Mayor and Council. So today I'm going to announce, it hasn't been launched yet, but I have a new website because the other name, Dogs Against Fluoridation, gets picked on, even though there is a basis for the name, which because dogs were used in 1884 to look into goiter, which is a thyroid condition, and fluoride tablets were used at that time. Anyway, so it's not Dogs Against Fluoridation. We have a new landing page, which is Dallas for Safer Water. And so I gave you all a copy because I spent a lot of money and time getting open records requests. And one of the things I found was the paper that I've given to you guys. And this is a certificate of analysis on one of the deliveries from Solvay, which, by the way, we're using Solvay now. Originally, in April of 2015, the council signed a 3-year contract with Mosaic to buy the hydrofluorosilicic acid. In December of 2016, before that 3-year contract had expired, the council voted for another 3-year contract. Well, I had a meeting with the water department a few weeks ago, and I asked them, because I asked them when I was at a city hall meeting, why did you get another 3-year contract? They didn't have an answer for me. But when I sat down with them in the conference room, they said because they didn't order enough fluoride. So you'd think that might be a question y'all might want to think about. Why didn't they? Why didn't they assume they needed that much? The contract that was done in 2012 and expired in 2015, y'all had enough fluoride that time. So that was concerning to me. Well, anyways, I'm looking at this certificate of analysis, which is comes with the deliveries of the fluoride. It's not as extensive as what it used to be. But they do list the arsenic, lead, and this other stuff called P2O5. That's on there, okay? Well, let's take a look at the specification limit of arsenic. It's less than or equal to 100 parts per million, okay? That delivery was 99.84 parts per million, okay? So the people that think fluoridation is good, there's a lot of people when I show them this, that they're Dallas for Safer Water, they say, why is this Dallas Water Utilities adding arsenic to our water? Because that's exactly what they're doing. And when I talk to the EPA about arsenic, the goal is zero, okay? So they're always trying to get arsenic out. And he even said, yeah, it is kind of weird putting a contaminant in the water, you know? I mean, their whole process is preventing people from getting this stuff. Okay, but real quick, I got a few more minutes. It's very important to tell you that November 22nd, 2016, a coalition of people that are not for fluoridation gave a petition to the EPA, the federal EPA, and they were requesting a ban on the fluoridation under the Toxic Substance Control Act, which is TSCA. Holy cow, that 3 minutes went fast. Anyways, it's upheld by the judge. There is a lawsuit moving forward. Thank you very much.
Next speaker, Dolores Phillips.
Ms. Phillips. We'll wait for you.
It's going to be Dolores Phillips, 3101 Luxor Way, Dallas 75233. You do have handouts. You have the CD with the clips of 22 minutes from Premeditated Green Oaks, 10/25/2013. You also have the documents from Green Oaks missing from the CD from October 25th, 2013. It's 2+ hours of video of what was not on what happened at DPD. Behind the scenes, and it's coming out, just like you have to answer to HUD, you're going to answer to this. It just takes time. So behind the scenes, the connections, just as the Me Too women and men are speaking about. They were blacklisted and bullied not to speak, and 38 years later they're given a platform to speak. It's not taking me that long. Truth is equity. Mayor Rollins, I do believe Corporal Cotton, when he said he spoke to you that morning before I arrived, October 25th, 2013, it was he who was angry. So if any of you do not care about your citizens that voted you in, care about your family members and your children that can be misdiagnosed with mental imbalances that are not true just because doctors want to see or use them as studies to see how medication can work. Mayor Rollins, you said about the fire department, the fire department personnel and the police officers, 20 years of them fighting for what they rightfully earned. You said, your words were, we did nothing wrong. 20 years later, you settled. Some of them are long gone now. That's your motto. That's what you do. You bully and you prolong because that's what you do to make the situation go away. I'm going to be here every opportunity I get to give it back to you in peace and truth. Your connections, your incorporations, your unions, your brotherhoods that's played a role in locking me up. 3 long days and 3 undue, unlawful nights, I'm going to give it to you back in peace and truth. I'm no better than or no less than your daughter, your wife, your nieces, your grandmothers, and I'm going to give it back to you in peace and truth. The documents that you intercepted while I was taken to Green Oaks that you didn't leave on the footage City Attorney Warren Ernst took off before he left. Everything that Scott Griggs said that he wanted to be transparent to let the people see. I want my medical records released. I want everything. The only reason I haven't did it yet all at one time is because I do not have the monies. So everything that you've done to quiet this minority, I'm going to give it back to you in peace and truth. And you know what you did, Mayor Rollins. It was unlawful. It was unjust. And I say that it was premeditated also to inflict fear, to also use me as a study. I'm stating that for the record. As far as open, all of y'all should be ashamed of yourself because the women here prove that the men that have been publicly persecuted in these Me Too conspiracies are some of themselves victims because the women here has shown that they are competitive against one another in their sexual seductiveness to try to get me to open. And I want that for public record that I do not
mess with
females.
Thank you.
Next speaker, John Grindel. John Grindel, not present. Yvonne Denise Hodge, not present. Karen Plunkett.
No. Good morning.
Morning.
My name is Karen Esposito Plunkett. I work for Sanitation Services at 3112 Canton Street, 75226. I'm here today to say thank you and goodbye. Today is my 39th anniversary with working with the City of Dallas. It's my plan to retire on January 16th. My employment with the city began with the Sertran division of the finance department. Some may not recall DFW Airport Shuttle Service transporting travelers by bus and taxi within the Metroplex when DFW Airport opened in 1974. If it wasn't for Pat Harrington rescuing me from being riffed after the closure of Sertran in 1984, my career with the city would have ended. Over the course of the last 39 years, I have served as clerk, collector, administrative assistant, and an executive assistant. I have worked in the finance department, revenue and taxation division, special collection, code compliance, and sanitation services. One of my favorite job duties was being sanitation's fourth Friday customer service coordinator. I ran with the opportunity to spread the word about providing stellar customer service to all. My cheerleading mode of instruction led to customer service events such as Family Feud, Customer Service Bingo, and the creation of the Kardashian Performance Group. One of my proudest moments was when I found out after hearing our performance at a Wowie Award, Mary Soom said she began singing one of our original hits entitled Rolling with the Carts as she took her cart to the curb each week. During the last few years, I developed a clearer understanding of how I fit into the likes of campaigns such as Revive the Pride, Quality Assurance, Together We Do It Better. Our product is service, empathy, ethics, excellence, equity. And I wish that whatever position my fellow servants hold, they find where they fit into the current campaign, because it's about providing the best work product to the citizens in which we serve. I believe this great city of Dallas will continue to grow and prosper, and I trust that each team member will be happy and fulfilled here as I have been. My career has been challenging and rewarding. I have been blessed by having worked for so many great leaders, doing the right thing, making Dallas a better place in which to live. Having a good example to follow made my job so much easier. I did my best, and I was well rewarded in kind and in friendship. I was privileged to be a part of a team that achieved success that we can all be proud of. I'm looking forward to my retirement, finding new adventures, and having the time and freedom to hang out with my family members and friends. So I hope leaving the city doesn't mean my relationship with my customers come to an end. Arrivederci, until we meet again.
Thank you, Ms. Plunkett.
Ruth Torres.
Ms. Plunkett, thank you for 39 years of service, and as importantly, thank you for your positive attitude after those 39 years, because you could probably be the glass half empty too, and just to see your positive attitude is a great testament to all the employees here at the city. Thank you so much. Mr. Callahan?
Yeah, Mayor, thank you for the time. I just want to say thank you, Karen. That's outstanding, and we're the sum of our parts, and this is a great organization with 13,000 people, a lot of moving parts, and I just want to say thank you and all the great City of Dallas employees that we have, and also, Mr. Broadnax, I want to say thank you to those that are dealing with the weather and a lot of the challenges that we've got this time of year. Those folks, they really rise up to the call. You know, we're off on vacation, enjoying ourselves and our families, and those people are out making that extra special commitment, and just like this woman did. So I just want to say thank you, all the City of Dallas employees.
Thank you, Ms. Kelly. Mr. Atkins?
Well, also, I want to say thank you also. You've been a great service to my community and also, but it's great that when you leave the city and retire, you haven't forgot about the city, but thank you for your service. Thank you.
Have a great, great retirement, okay? Next speaker.
Ruth Torres.
Good morning and Happy New Year, Council. Thank you for your service. Today, I bring you recommendations to promote fair access and treatment by those receiving millions, like my former landlord, which received almost $20 million from economic development and low-income housing programs. These should be required to utilize the standard Texas lease and require a minimum of 51% of units to be allocated for low to moderate income. Prohibit discrimination and retaliation. Comply and disclose Texas property code as well as applicable terms of Texas occupational code. The amount of the rent should be equal to or less than the amount used by City of Dallas Housing Services. All required costs such as parking, pest control, et cetera, should be included within the total maximum rental amount. Prohibit abusive and discriminatory towing practices. Maintain a waiting list for low-income units, providing monthly updates, and prohibit favoritism by staff, family, and friends. Equal access to amenities so that access cannot be limited by those who do not reside in the participating building. And add these requirements to the annual inspection criteria along with annual low-income resident survey requiring a satisfaction score. And penalize the participants for violations including loss and reimbursement of benefits for up to 3 years. These recommendations are necessary because no such provisions currently exist. My former landlord, the Continental, received almost $20 million in financial benefits from this city, including a HUD 108 loan for $7.6 million, another $2 million with 2% interest for affordable housing, as well as $17.3 for TIF reimbursements, all for just 10% of the units designated as low income, and after receiving a waiver from the 51% required by HUD, all while allowing these discriminatory abuses. Please take this opportunity to apply principles of unity and equity in a practical and impactful manner. I am willing to respond to any questions and assist in this initiative in any manner possible. Thank you for your time and consideration, and I ask that you also find out how many additional millions have been given to multi-million dollar companies for a handful of units without any other performance requirements. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Torres. Mr. Felder had a question.
Ms. Torres. Come to the microphone. Thank you for bringing that to light. I'm one of the people here on the council that has served on the TIF board, and I understand exactly what you're talking about, and I brought it to the staff's attention. And so you can expect to see changes in the format for the downtown TIF in the upcoming months. And so I agree with you. Those incentives, there should have been many more affordable housing units in the downtown area and throughout the other TIFs as well, but especially the downtown unit TIFs, because for some reason they got 10% as opposed to 20%. And so I have spoken out against that, and I thank you for bringing that forward, but it is not going unnoticed. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next speaker, Adrian Lewis.
All right, Mr. Mayor, you need to go back to Pizza Hut where you belong because you fail at everything that you do, okay? You surrounded yourself with a lot of black slaves in this house right here, a lot of black slaves. Where's Britton Banarski that's leading the homeless population? Where is he at? Because this individual, it's your only job is to take care of the homeless. You need to do your job because right now the homeless people are sleeping on the street of this city. This city is one of the richest cities in America. Can somebody explain to me why the homeless people, nobody give a crap about them here in Dallas? They sleep in on the outside concrete on a 30-degree weather. I got this coat on. It's still cold outside with this coat on. So why are the homeless people not given a place to stay around the holidays, the Christmas, the New Year? Can you explain this to me, Mr. Mayor, since you belong to Pizza Hut, you fail at everything that you do? You fail to go to South Dallas. You failed the homeless population. You failed the police pension, sir. Can you explain this to me, sir? You suck at everything that you do. You need to go back to Pizza Hut. Can you explain to me why the homeless not getting taken care of, sir?
Point of order, Mr. Mayor.
The richest city in America, the homeless are sleeping on the concrete.
I don't think it needs to go on.
Okay.
Can you explain that to me, sir?
I'm a little tolerant since you were abusing me, but we try not to be abusive in this in listening. So back up a little bit and let's.
And can you explain to me yesterday why vehicle 3145 Dallas police officer driving 60 miles per hour on Simpson Stewart Road heading towards the 45 freeway? Can you explain to me why? With no emergency going on, and then I'm calling your staff has been very rude to me. You got a bunch of Shaniqua that answering the phone. I pay taxes. I need services. There's no officer that should be driving 60 miles per hour on Simpson Road, which is called Camp Wisdom Road as well. Can you explain that to me, sir, why they driving 60 miles per hour with no emergency going on? So I guess you got no comment, but this white woman, you had all kind of comments for her. But because I'm coming to you like a man, you got nothing to say. You a coward, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
Luella Hansen.
Hold on, Mayor.
Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Mayor. Let me just make a couple of statements, and I don't normally just jump in. But we Mayor, we're doing this council and you and the city of Dallas, we're doing a heck of a job with homeless. I want to make sure that is on the record, that the city of Dallas, we pick up the homeless from across the United States of America, and the reason is because we're one of the only cities and one of the lead cities that pay attention to the homeless, as we just put $20 million, I believe, toward the homeless program and are doing things. So I want to just make that point.
Thank you.
Luella Hansen.
Yeah, right here.
Thank you. We'll move the mic down to you.
My name is Luella Hansen, and I see a lot of homeless people. They're not getting the help, especially the disabled in this community. which they should be. I don't know why they're not getting help. I mean, I've been to shelter after shelter, and they refuse. They say they're not adequately equipped for this big chair. And I want to know, and some of the facilities don't even have handicapped bathrooms. Why is that? I mean, all us homeless people need housing, especially people with disabilities. And in this climate, weather, I see a lot of people trying to make it, and they don't have housing, especially us disabled people.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you. This concludes all of your registered speakers for this meeting. We'll now move to the voting agenda.
Thank you.
Agenda item 1, approval of minutes of the December 6, 2017 City Council meeting.
We got a motion and a second. Any discussion, edits? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item 2, consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. This morning we have full council, individual, and an officer appointment.
You guys, if you want to make the morning go quicker, you can probably start taking your cameras out now because we'll be going in session in about 2 minutes. I won't mind that.
Nominees for full council appointment to the Reinvestment Zone 14 Board, Skillman Corridor, John Torres and Gregory Duval are being nominated by Councilmember McGew. Nominees for individual appointments to the Animal Advisory Commission, Eliza Stewart is being nominated by Councilmember Atkins. Ms. Stewart meets the general public special qualification. To the Cultural Affairs Commission, Ella Good Johnson is being nominated by Councilmember Thomas. Ms. Johnson meets the Volunteer Cultural Board Experience Interested Citizen Special Qualification. To the Community Development Commission, Sherry Mixon is being nominated by Councilmember Felder. To the South Dallas Fair Park Trust Fund Board, Judy Edwards is being nominated by Councilmember Felder. Ms. Edwards meets the General Community Development Principles and Practices Special Qualification. Vice Chair appointment, Robert T. Richard is being nominated Vice Chair of the Permit, License, and Appeal Board by Councilmember Grayson.
We've got a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Mr. Mayor, your briefings continue.
Thank you. It is 9:34 a.m. on January 3rd, 2018. City Council will now go into closed session under Section 551.071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act to receive advice from and consult with the city attorney on the following matters described on today's agenda: the legal issues regarding Dallas County Schools dissolution and school crossing guard program. So if we can go into closed session, we shouldn't be, I don't think, more than 15 minutes, hopefully. It may be more than that, but I'm trying to give a little estimate. All right. Thank you. The City Council has completed its closed session under Section 551071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act, and at 10:15 a.m. on January 3rd, 2018, we have returned to open session. We will take up briefing A at this point. Mr. Broad next.
Thank you, Mayor. If council will recall, the school crossing guard briefing was provided to you last Friday in advance of today's meeting in your Friday package. As we noted, due to the immediacy of this item, it was not feasible to send it to the Public Safety Committee for discussion beforehand. John Fortune, Assistant City Manager, and Kimberly Visor Tolbert, Chief of Staff, are both here to walk you through that presentation. Before they begin, I wanted to express to the City Council that the school crossing guard program is a priority for the city, and the safety of our school-aged children is critically important as we work through the most feasible approach to continue the services of our school crossing guard program in the coming year. Today, we want to provide you with a historical overview, describe the current situation, and receive your feedback as it relates to our proposed next steps. At this time, I will turn it over to John Fortune and Kimberly Beiser-Tolbert.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. I appreciate the time to talk to the council this morning. John Fortune, Assistant City Manager.
I don't think I can hear you. Is your light on?
Yes, sir, it's on.
Okay, there,
better?
That's better.
Okay.
When you made...
As we all know, we're here to talk about the impact that the dissolution of the Dallas County Schools has on the school crossing guard program. Today I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the funding sources for the program, as well as some actions that the city has taken since we learned of the dissolution. To try to provide some framework for our discussion today, though, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about several local government code provisions. First is Chapter 343, which assigns a responsibility for school crossing guards to municipalities with a population greater than 850,000. Chapter 106 of the code also establishes the Child Safety Trust Fund. This is to be used for fees earmarked for school crossing guards. And Chapter 502 provides for an optional $1.50 fee for vehicle registrations for child safety. In regard to the Child Safety Trust Fund, we know right now that $5 of every parking ticket, $25 of every fee for moving violations in school zones, as well as $20 of every fine for parents convicted of contributing to truancy, is deposited into the Child Safety Fund. Optional, as we mentioned in Chapter 502, is the $1.50 vehicle registration fees that counties can assess. Currently, Denton County and Collin County contribute to that fund. There are schools within the city of Dallas that lie inside the jurisdictions for Denton and Collin counties. And so we do receive a small percentage of those fees for our school crossing guard program. Combined with the other earmarked funds from the citations, we estimate that we receive approximately $600,000 to $700,000 a year into the Child Safety Fund. Prior to 2012, the Dallas Police Department operated and managed the school crossing guard program. We had approximately 350 crossing guards at that time. In the spring of 2012, the city and Dallas County Schools developed a proposal for a child safety program. And Dallas County Schools agreed to provide administrative and operational oversight for the program through an interlocal agreement with the city. So I'm going to talk a little bit about those agreements and what they contain. The responsibilities for Dallas County Schools in the ILA regarding school crossing guards is that they would basically fund and manage the entire program. In addition to that, in the ILA, it stipulated that they would try to encourage the Dallas County to adopt the authorized $1.50 vehicle registration fee for child safety. That did not occur. In regards to the stop arm enforcement, their responsibilities was to operate the cameras and issue citations for the enforcement of that program and reimburse the city for the administrative adjudication process for the tickets, as well as maintain an escrow account for contingencies associated with the programs. In regard to the City of Dallas's responsibility, we were to monitor the school crossing guard program and provide feedback to DCS for any changes or improvements that might be necessary. as well as to forward to them the funds that we had deposited into the child safety fee, child safety fund, to offset the full cost of the program. And finally, in regards to stop arm enforcement, the city was to maintain the ordinance to allow DCS to provide that type, that specific enforcement, as well as to hear the appeals through of those citations through our municipal court. On the next slide, I want to point out that there was a change to the material that we provided to you Friday. This is not different information. It's just I've formatted it a little differently to provide more sequential, logical transition than information to be able to help you understand what the council's prior action was. But in April in 2012, the council was briefed, or the Public Safety Committee was briefed, and then in May 12th, the City Council adopted the Stop Arm Ordinance. The Stop Arm Ordinance basically created a civil offense for violating or for a vehicle to bypass the stop arm that's deployed on a school bus at any particular point in the city. The council also, we talked about the ILAs, they approved two ILAs. The Enforcement Stop Arm Ordinance was an initial three-year period that lasted from 2012 to 2015. The other ILA transferred the entire cost and operation of the school crossing guard program to DCS through 2042. Then, in May of 2015, because there was just an initial term on the stop arm program, the council amended essentially extended the agreement with DCS for another 25 years to 2040. So that's the prior council action. In terms of cost for the school crossing guard program, we know that the program from 2006 through 2012 cost anywhere from about $2.2 million as almost as high as $3 million. Of course, in 2012, that was for a partial year. The city's cost was $2.1 million, and Dallas County Schools had a cost of $400,000 in that particular year. Since that time, the years 2013 through 2016, we don't have a lot of detailed information, but we do estimate that the cost was about $4.2 million annually for the Dallas County Schools. And so that gives you hopefully a good background of kind of how we got into the program and how the funding mechanisms currently operate. And I'm going to turn it over to Kim at this point, and she's going to take us through the next part of the presentation.
Thank you, John. So at this time, we would like to highlight for the council the current situation that the city of Dallas is facing. There's been a lot of attention in the media regarding the financial losses and the debt situation of DCS, and so we know that that's been widely covered. So this information is not necessarily going to be new for the council. The November the 7th election resulted in the voters actually deciding to dissolve DCS, and a dissolution committee was actually formed then by the state comptroller, with the primary purpose of winding down the agency, liquidating assets, and pretty much focused on the continuation of transportation services through the end of the school year. It was around December the 15th, I believe that was the exact date, we had an opportunity, John, myself, our chief of police, a representative from the city attorney's office, as well as a couple of other members of our executive management team, we had an opportunity to go and sit and visit with the dissolution committee chairperson, which was Mr. King representing that committee. And at that time, that's when we received the information that they would no longer continue with the actual program beyond the January 31st date. And so it was around that time that we began to identify just internally some action steps that we needed to take. The first step was an actual letter from the city manager that was sent to the chairperson representing the committee. On the next slide, we want to just kind of highlight for the council the financial impact as it relates to this current fiscal year and what we will be facing going into the next fiscal year if the city of Dallas were to assume the total cost of the program with no participation and support from any of our other partner agencies. For FY17-18, to continue with the current salaries, the benefits that the school crossing guards are currently receiving, the staffing levels that are already established, and the schedules for the school crossing guards through the end of the fiscal year would be roughly about $2.5 million. John mentioned the child safety fees and the amount, the estimated amount that we have been transferring over to DCS. It's averaged anywhere between $600,000 to about $700,000 a year. So if we continued with that number, we would still be looking at a shortfall this year of about $1.9 million. So as we look ahead for the full fiscal year beginning for FY19, The actual estimated cost of the Crossing Guard program, we're at that $5 million number, and that, again, is continuing at the same level, salaries, and benefits. If we continued with the same child safety contribution that we've been looking at for the last two or three years, we would still be looking at a potential shortfall of about $4.4 million. And, again, this is based on no additional funding, no additional support from either of any of our local or regional partners. And so from a recent action standpoint, we mentioned that there was an official letter that was sent by the city manager to the person that's actually representing the dissolution committee, to Mr. King. In that letter, there were several requests that the city made. Those actual items are listed here on this slide, but one of the key things that we were looking for, number one, is that there is an escrow account that through November the 30th of this year that we've identified that there was about $249,000. And so the first request was to determine how we would be able to get those funds transferred back over to the city. In addition to that, again, we have amount to be determined because there are still some reimbursements that we believe are owed to the city. We're not necessarily sure of what those exact numbers are. Also, there was equipment that was sent over to DCS in 2012 when we entered into the interlocal agreement. We are still tracking and trying to identify an inventory of those assets so we would understand what needs to come back to the city if we were to move forward with operating the program. And then on December the 27th, 2017, the city attorney actually filed a temporary restraining order against DCS. So on the next slide, there are a lot of things that we still are not sure of, that we do not know. We are still fact-finding. I will say that the dissolution committee, they have been very responsive to the requests that we have made, and we've made several requests for information. They have been responsive and timely in getting that information back to the city. But there are other items that we're still waiting for responses. There are items that I think they're still trying to identify, records that they have or that they do not have. Some of that relates to the Stop Arm Camera Program debt and financial losses that are attributed to that expansion of that program outside of the city of Dallas, and also whether or not the city of Dallas will be compensated at all for any claims regarding the escrow account and adjudication expenses. And so there are things that we're still working through. We would love to be able to tell you that we have all the answers today, but we do not, and we will continue to request information directly to the dissolution committee as it relates to how do we move forward. So from a next step standpoint, we are really looking today to get council feedback. We believe that the continuation of the program beyond January the 31st is of critical importance. Our city manager has communicated that it is a priority. We believe that we need to move forward with establishing a partnership where we bring all of the parties to the table and work through a feasible solution that will give us a better handle on how do we move forward, whether it's in an interim state over the next 90 days, and then we continue to work towards something more long-term. So at this time, we'd like to get feedback from the council and can entertain any questions that you have. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Caraway.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. Let me first say that the safety of Dallas school children and all children is a priority to the city of Dallas. And in 2012, we entered in this partnership with DCS under the circumstances and the belief that we were keeping the kids safe, all right, that attend our schools, in which is the city's responsibility is to make sure that everybody is safe. Some of the concerns that I have, I'd like to go to page 9 first, and let me kind of go back through, because it started in 2012. But now, give me a little information about 2015, what I'm seeing on the screen.
So, Mayor Pro Tem, the initial authorization to run the Stop Arm Enforcement Program was a three-year authorization from 2012 to 2015. And okay. So in 2015, the City Council was asked whether or not you wanted to continue the program, and there was some discussion and then ultimately a vote to extend the ILA to 2042, another 25 years. Yes, sir.
That took place in 2015.
Excuse me, 2040.
Yeah. Okay. Let's run over to page 10. Now, in 2006, this program was costing the city of Dallas
$2.8 million.
All right. Now, when it got down to 2013 through 16 and 15, what caused the escalation? Let me hear. Why did it go from us in approximately 2000, you know, to 4000? What happened?
We believe there were several factors. We think the size of the program grew. I think the number of crossing guards that they had increased, as well as some changes to their personnel and pay policies that affected some of their crossing guards and provided benefits, retirement, and health care for certain individuals that were performing at a different level within their staffing.
Okay.
Beyond that, we know that, you know, just through escalation, cost of pay increases and so forth, mm-hmm. that cumulative effect of all those things is what we can attribute the increase to.
Well, now, in 2012, it was 350 approximately crossing guards. Is that correct?
That's correct.
All right, and now it's 400.
Yeah, we believe it increased over that 4 or 5 year window to 400.
And so 50 people created an uptick of $3 million?
No, sir. There wasn't 50 people. We believe it's a cumulative.
We had 350 when it was 2 million, and now it's 400, and now it's 5 million. I'm just approximate.
Yeah.
You know.
So there was several factors again that were contributing to the increase in the program. For example, when the city of Dallas transferred the employees to DCS, they were around $8 an hour.
Okay.
But since then, they've raised those salaries up to a minimum of $10.10 per hour.
Who is they?
The Dallas County Schools.
Okay.
And so that contributed one element of the increase, as well as the growth in the number of overall crossing guards, as well as adding a component to their overall compensation for health insurance and retirement that were not previously provided when the city operated the program.
Okay.
And that wasn't applied to every crossing guard, but it was to certain supervisors and other individuals that were within the group of individuals that were transferred to their program.
And when the crossing guards did not show up for work, those that may have been sick, whose responsibility was it to replace and cross the children across the street?
It was Dallas County Schools' responsibility to ensure that they had the coverage they needed for the various crossings and deployments that they had identified with the school district.
Because early in our discussion, I was told by someone that it was the Dallas Police.
When it was under the police department previously for the city, when we managed the program, we would use resources within the police department to allocate to those places.
So we would have to take an officer off the street.
An officer or a parking control officer or some other civilian position, but somebody within the police resources would have to be allocated for that purpose.
And crossing the keys.
Yes, sir.
Now, did DISD at that time have their police department?
I believe they had a police department during that time.
So,
yes,
so why would it be that our Dallas police would have to go and come off when DISD police are crossing DISD children across the street, and we take a crime-fighting police officer off from answering emergency calls?
I can only surmise that it was because we were operating the system at the time and managing the system that the department felt that the burden relied, you know,
and
on them.
And who is currently all, well, let me ask this way. On the dissolution committee, who is representing the city of Dallas?
The city of Dallas is currently not represented on the dissolution committee.
That's very clear now. Let's say that one more time.
The city of Dallas is not represented on the dissolution committee.
All right. Who are the members? The chair and the members of the dissolution committee.
The members of the dissolution committee were appointed by the state comptroller.
By the who?
By the state comptroller.
Okay.
And so we actually have the names of those individuals.
You can read them.
The individual, the chair, is Mike Moses, Michael Hinojosa, Matt Bowles, Chuck Yapel, Selena Miller, Robert Dransfield, Jose Bada, Greg Buchanan, Kelly Spencer, Brent Ringo, Sandra Hayes, Bobby Burns, Bobby Lombardi, Derek City, and Alan King.
All right. Now, some of the names that you call are and were once and are affiliated with in some form or fashion with DISD.
I'm not certain of that.
I am. Okay. All right. So, and where I'm driving is that this is being laid back into our laps. In 2012, what we did as the city were to make sure that we participated in keeping all children safe. At that particular point, I think that we saved money and were able to put back in our general fund, and I think, I don't know the number, but maybe it was $1.5 million that we saved when this was transferred away from us. I feel that it is not comfortable for us to give something away, and we save $1.5 million approximately, but then it comes back to us today without us having any representation on the dissolution committee and not being privy to certain information for it to come back to us for $5 million. I think that we should have a stronger seat at the table. I would ask that we figure out how we're going to get to the table, since they're making decisions that are impacting our citizens and our taxpayers and our general funds, because we really don't have the dollars. Now, DISD, in my opinion, should take this entire program, because, and that's my opinion, and I do know that the state law says 850,000 municipalities have to do this. I think that needs to be challenged, and it needs to be raised. And I think that the $1.50 that is available to us that the county is not putting into the pot with this car tax, that should be put into the pot to try to make sure that it is not all on the backs of us. I think you're going to hear a little bit shortly about the TIF and the dollars that are in our TIFs that's going to DISD. This is a DISD responsibility. We did not, we can't tell where a bad apple is. We got in it on a good deal, and somehow things went awry. So we should take a strong position to make sure that when the kids leave their house going to school to get on a bus that are going to take them to a DISD school for their education, in which we support, I think that is a function that should be completely in the hands of DISD. As relate to us not having a representation on the dissolution committee, I think that the property that is being discussed that is under the course of DCS, I believe it is, the school bus barns and other buildings and facilities, that is something that should be resolved since DISD is controlling it, because with the level of how they have that board, DISD is not going to want to take anything. And we're not going to sit here and let this fall just on the backs of the city of Dallas. It is the responsibility when it comes to kids for DISD to step up to the plate, embrace this, because they have more money. I pay more taxes to DISD than anybody else as it relates to on my tax roll. Not to some of you folks. I know y'all pay more taxes than I do. But at the end of the day, that's where I am. I'll say some more. I'll listen and go for another round.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins.
Thank you very much. First, number one, it is very important the safety of the children go to school. That's number one. And I believe that the city, the county, and the state, we all have a responsibility to make sure the children are safe. That's number one. Number two, if you go to page 5, and I look at this chart on page 5 in Ocala, disturbed to see that the Dallas County is at feed assessment is no and amount is NA. Can you tell me why is that?
Well, it's our understanding that there have been conversations with Dallas County representatives in the past. We're not necessarily certain as to what's been the reluctance We do believe that they have requested, you know, some additional information that we are aware of as it relates to how they would then disperse based on the fact that there are multiple school districts within Dallas County. That was the question that was raised within the last couple of months. But we're not necessarily sure and can't necessarily speak for Dallas County as to why they have not moved forward in levying that additional $1.50.
Yeah, I guess that's a good explanation, but I don't think that's a great one. I think Dallas County, you know, we look at Denton County, we look at this, the city of Dallas, you know, we are in Dallas County. There should be some kind of way that they should contribute, you know, for the sake of the children. You know, that's something that I believe that we need to have a conversation with Dallas County and find out how can or will they, if they would not do it, they should do it. Go to page 9. The ILA. Okay. In 2012, and we look at the ILA today, we look at escrow, we look at audit. In our ILA, do we have an audit mechanism that said we need to audit these accounts and make sure the escrow money is there? What kind of oversight do we have in the ILA?
There were some required financial reporting that had to be submitted to the city as it relates to the escrow account. The Child Safety Trust Fund was actually maintained by the city. And so that was actually an account that we've had access and we've maintained that account. But the escrow account was to be maintained by DCS, and then financial reports would be provided to the city.
So did they have DCS, did they have fully control of the escrow account?
The escrow account is actually, the bank account is in the name of Dallas County Schools. And
not
so
the
city of Dallas's name is not on the escrow account.
So DCS had full control of the escrow account, according to the bank.
According to the ILA, they were responsible for maintaining the escrow account, and the city maintained the Child Safety Trust Fund.
Okay. On page 12. Okay, I look at FY 17-18, I look at FY 18-19. The 1.9 is set a shortfall. Is that from February 1st to September 30th? I guess it includes summer school.
It does. It includes operating the, we've received some notification that through June 9th, we would need to keep the same schedules,
the
29th of June. And so that would be during the summer school time that school crossing guards would be needed outside of the actual school year.
Okay. When we said crossing guard, we said the city of Dallas. Do that include charter school, private school also?
Yes, it does.
Okay. 18-19, the $4.4 million, how did we come back to that figure? How did that figure come about? How do we calculate that?
As John mentioned in the previous slide, looking at the historical cost, we know that in the last fiscal year that they were at about 4.2, that was actual. And so we've estimated, number one, there are some school crossing guards who are currently below the living wage amount of $10.94 an hour that the city council approved last year. And so there would be some school crossing guards who would need to be raised to that level. So we've estimated it being at about the $5 million. And again, that is if we continued with the same staffing level, continue to offer the same benefits that are being offered today, the same schedule school crossing officers. And so with that, we're looking at the estimate of the $5 million.
Okay.
So if we continued along that path.
So if you continue along that path, so I guess if you look at 18-19, you're saying that if DCS is paying them $10.50 an hour, if they provide insurance, we will follow that same threshold.
We're saying that would be the case if that's the decision that the city made.
So
we wanted to give you what the worst case kind of number would be if we just didn't make any changes as it relates to the current benefit level schedules and the number of officers,
okay.
The number of guards, I'm sorry.
Okay. So I know the city manager, we look at a 2-year budget. And my concern is that we're looking at a two-year budget, the $5 million, $10 million, we just did our budget. So how will we try to scrub to come up with $10 million? So what is our response to that?
So what we can tell you is that we have we've had opportunities to discuss internally. This is not something that we've budgeted for in our current budget or in our go forward. We've had an opportunity to speak with our chief financial officer, and at this time, if the city, with no additional support from any of our local regional partners, and if we again stayed at the same level, we would have to go into our reserves in order to fund the program.
Okay, so if we go in our reserve to fund this program and we budget out for 2 years, and let's say, for example, we keep doing this for 10 years, we're looking at $20 million, we dip into our reserve. How much money do we have in our reserve?
I'd have to ask our chief financial officer to come to
Elizabeth,
to
how much
mic.
We have?
We currently have about $165 million in reserve. That's about 47 days of operating reserve. Our goal is 60 days, so actually I would be more comfortable if we had about $45 million more in our reserve.
So we had a dip in our reserve, number one, and we're going to keep dipping up year after year after year, then also impact our budget. So we are looking at a two-year budget now. So something had to be cut, right? Is that a fair statement?
We would have to determine how to handle that, either through cuts or through finding revenue from another source or using reserves, yes. Yeah.
And I get that, Becky, you said above the line and below the line. So we got to make some tough decisions. We're going to be above the line and we're going to be below the line. And that's this $5 million starting this year. And we look at our reserve that we'll be taking away from that each year. And I guess we have to figure out how do we replenish that reserve. A question. We talk about the TIF. And I keep saying this, you know, we extend the TIF in the Burger Line many, many years ago. When you extend the TIF, DISD do not participate in the TIF. Is that a fair statement? The money, you know, all the property money go to them. Is that a fair statement?
I believe that's accurate. I know
Raquel
is here. She can
address
that.
Let's make sure we bring it back to this.
I'm going to bring it back to it because we got a budget.
So
we got a $10 million shortfall.
Right.
And when we do a TIF, and every time we do a TIF, the city dollars participate in the county, and DISD do not. And they take that money, billions of dollars. What do they do with that money? So can they turn around and take some of that money to pay for the crossing guard?
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay. Raquel, is that a possibility?
The school district is at liberty to use that in any way that they'd like.
Okay.
It goes back to the state, too.
I'm just throwing it out there, Mayor. I mean, hey, the money is money.
I agree.
And the children are the children. We're trying to think about the safety. And we don't have $5 million. I'm trying to find out how we get $5 million. So I'm trying to, everybody need to take care of the kids. And I think the TIF, I think that's the way we should look at it. Because they do take the money. They go to the state. And we're going to lobby the state. And the state going to have something said about where the money go to. So we are trying to protect the children. So I think that was something we should look into. With that, I'm going to stop. And I'll probably come back around.
Thank you. Mr. Thomas?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. First of all, this is a mess. This is an absolute mess that we didn't create. I'm really curious, first of all, when this legislation was being, you know, developed, and those who were advocating for dissolution of Dallas County Schools, how much of this information was made known that at least the responsibility that the city had. How much? Because as we were getting, you know, this briefing document, reading different things in the press, you know, it was new to me. So.
I think our answer is we do not have an answer. We had some early discussions with both county representation as well as the school district prior to November to look at what would be the potential impact of this for the city. I think we went into that with an assumption that there would still be the continuation of busing services as well as the school crossing guards. And so that was the assumption that was made at that time. But there were early discussions about the potential impact on the city prior to November, prior to the election.
Right. Well, let me say this. I think precedent has been set that we're all concerned about the kids. So I don't think we have to say that anymore. Kids are our first priority. Safety of our kids is first priority. So now we need to get down to where the rubber meets the road. First, does this committee have a deadline to complete their duties?
We would have to ask. I'm not necessarily sure that there is a deadline. I believe that the deadline that they placed on the school crossing guard program is because of their money situation. And so they could no longer continue funding the payroll for the school crossing guards beyond that January 31st date.
I can tell you that the legislation provided that they would operate the transportation system through the end of the school year, and they've taken action to run it through the end of June or July.
I think it's July.
July and of this year.
Was anybody from the committee invited to be here today?
Yes, we made the committee aware of today's meeting back in December when we met with them. We shared that we would be briefing the council at the first meeting of the year. They were not able to attend today's meeting.
Do you know why the city of Dallas was not invited to have representation on the committee?
Can't answer that question.
Has that question been asked?
We have not asked that question.
Can we ask that question?
Yes, we will.
I appreciate it. If you, page 5, please. I'm looking at this last bullet where it says currently collected fees contribute $600,000 $700,000 annually. If we've had a record of their accounting as recently as the end of November. Where have the funds gone to? What have the funds gone for?
There was approximately some payments made through the summer of approximately $400,000 for this fiscal year. Once we reached a certain point, we stopped making a transfer of those funds to them, and we currently have $199,000 that we've retained for the current fiscal, for the 16-17 fiscal year, prior fiscal year. And we have not made a payment in this current fiscal year.
Okay. Page 13. I see it says transfer all equipment. Well, this is the request that the city made.
Correct.
To the committee. And that was on the 14th, which was prior to the Christmas break, which was enough time to be able to get some. How much of that information have we received?
Well, we actually received a response. We received an email response back from Mr. King, back to the city manager. There have been additional items that we've requested. And some of that information is still in progress, but for the most part, each time that we identify something else that we need, whether it's additional information on the actual school crossing guards, we know the hourly wages of each of those, and so we've continued to make requests as we look at different things that we're going to need in order to make a decision.
Mm-hmm. According to the legislation, what was the plan in the event that the vote, you know, to dissolve Dallas County Schools happened? What was the plan from the legislators? It seemed like it's an unfounded mandate.
I'm not certain that in the legislation it actually identified after the dissolution of the agency what would happen to the school crossing guard program.
did they say that there would be a dissolution committee? Is that something that, you know, mm-hmm. that was?
The dissolution committee is spelled out, but again, as we've stated, that it primarily spoke or speaks to the continuation of transportation services to the component districts. It does not speak to the dissolution committee as it relates to school crossing guards as their charge.
So, as the school crossing guard program was a component of, well, let me go back a little bit further. At what point in time did we realize the Dallas County Schools was financially in trouble?
Well, I will tell you that we learned of the dire financial situation at that meeting that we had in December. We went into that meeting to really talk about a transition kind of over several months and through the end of the school year. And at that time is when it was shared with us that they had no money in order to continue to operate the school crossing guard program. And they were pretty much living, operating the through that this current period really just on checks. That's how they were. It was almost day to day. They were making decisions as to what bills would be paid mm-hmm. and what bills would not be paid pretty much on an everyday basis. And so we learned that type of detail in the meeting that we had with Mr. King and a couple of other representatives on December the 14th.
So if that's the case, the vote was in November, correct?
November 7th.
So we found out roughly a month afterwards how dire their financial situation. You know, it's borderline bait and switch. And I said you didn't, that you would encourage people to, not you, but people be encouraged to vote one way or the other without having adequate information in terms of the financial solvency or lack thereof of Dallas County Schools. That's very deceitful. And talking with a couple of trustees, because I wanted to know from some of the trustees, you know, were you in support of this? Is the board in support of it? And from what I heard, they were not, because they were not ready. They were not in a position to take on the responsibility that comes along with this. I know this is the only thing that we're focused on is the school crossing guard program. And Councilman Caraway talked about, getting on buses, getting off buses, but there are crossing guards that are there when parents drop kids off to walk those kids across the street as well. And I hate this is falling in our laps because, you know, our predecessors, those council members who were on the council when they extended this agreement 25 years, had any foresight that Dallas County Schools would be going away, less known 6 years, less known 20 years down the road. This is very bothersome. And I'm going to stop there. I'm sure there'll be a round two.
Thank you, Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mayor. I apologize. I've got a cold. My voice isn't very strong. I'm going to echo some of the comments that my fellow colleagues have made regarding the importance of this program and the existence of this program and the safety of the children in our city and that attend our schools. And so we've got to come to the table and figure out a fix. I do want to go back to, I know in 2012, I understand why the city, engaged in this agreement because it was a burden on our general fund, and it was we could outsource. But whose responsibility is the school crossing guards? I mean, how does state law address that?
Ultimately, it's the city's responsibility, and that's the provision that I read to the council.
Right, so, and it's only a city's of 850,000 or more,
that's
right?
That's correct.
So we figured out a way, I guess, I don't know if we were approached by Dallas County Schools or if our management, started looking for a solution to outsource this responsibility to the city. We did. I see where we put this, how we led to getting to this agreement in place in 2012. I was on the council in 2015. I went back and watched the video because I remember having a lot of questions. My questions at that time were we were getting a lot of complaints about the tickets, how they were contested. And people were saying they weren't receiving one ticket, then they would get a second ticket, and then they'd be responsible for both. And I think when I went back and looked at the video, I think I had documented I had 11 different constituents that had reached out with these issues. So I had a lot of concern, I think Casey, you pointed this out, about the program and this interlocal agreement at that time. I know Mr. Graves and I tried to get it briefed. We couldn't get it briefed. Still came forward on an addendum in May that year. There was a lot. I just went back and watched it. We had a lot of discussion about this contract, and I think we as a city, those of us that voted for it, really should have been asking these questions about if this program and this DCS didn't exist, what would happen to our responsibility to offer the guards? There was a lot of smoke at that time about this organization. We had issues with these tickets and the program itself. I think they asked for 47 years originally to extend the contract, and we amended that at that day to whatever it ended up being. There was concern that the red light camera programs in general were going to get the legislation was going to get rid of all of them, and this program would not be able to go forward, so we needed to hurry the decision before the legislation session so it could be grandfathered. Those discussions existed in 2015. What we all should have asked, though, was about this escrow account and assuring that this money would continue with being protected for providing the school guard, because I think that was the whole city's incentive that we could outsource it this way. And there was smoke at the time. We questioned the contract. We went forward with a vote. I couldn't support it at the end. I think some of my colleagues around this table did. But I know I understand why we did it is because we needed to provide this program. So now in the end here, we've realized that this model, and I think we even discussed this model that they went out and borrowed a lot of money to fund this school arm crossing program to buy these cameras. And the only way they could get that program to be successful was they had to get interlocal agreements from multiple cities. Correct? And we were the only one, we were one of the few cities that had an incentive to sign the interlocal agreement because we got a benefit and they got to provide our school crossing guards. Where the rest of the cities, how many other cities did they sign up with this program?
What we learned in the discussion that we had with representatives of the dissolution committee is that they are, they've provided us with a list of school districts outside of Dallas where the program is actually, the stop arm camera program is actually operated, but they're not sure whether or not if they have agreements with all of those. And so that is still
a... So we could be the only agreement. So essentially we agreed to it because we got a benefit. The other cities didn't agree to it because they weren't even having to provide a school crossing guard, so they didn't have to sign up. And then the organization borrowed a lot of money. And if it wasn't dissolved, they're going to go bankrupt. I think we are now seeing from this the financials that the dissolution committee is showing us is they were going bankrupt, one way or the other. And we protect, and now because of the legislation, they protected the bondholders because we're going to keep paying taxes. For the bondholders are protected, but those of us that have to provide, the taxpayers of Dallas who have to provide the school crossing guards are not protected. And then DISD is going to benefit because they sit on the dissolution committee. They're going to benefit, I guess, from getting some of the properties. Either the property or the buses are going to be able to be turned over to them. So they will receive some type of and start a new bus program. So I think you said it right, Casey, that this is it's extremely complicated. The city didn't do our part in vetting out their viability of an existing organization, and I mean, I think it was very clear in that they had this model that was set up for disaster, And we still, as a city, you know, engaged in an agreement and outsourced the responsibility that now we have to figure out, hopefully with our partners at DISD and the county, in a way to come together and keep this program working forward. I think the county, they need to be our partner. We need to look at another source. I mean, it's everybody's, we're all the same taxpayers. We all pay DISD and Dallas County and City of Dallas. And so it is in the best interest of our taxpayers if we work together for a solution. So just lastly, if you could tell me then what the escrow account, there's some administrative fees that were to be paid in the escrow account, correct? What is the status of those? I think it's been addressed earlier. We haven't been auditing those to make sure that they've been being paid. Is it $5 a ticket or something to that such?
Well, I don't believe the administrative fee goes into the escrow account.
Oh, that
is paid directly to us. And it's $5 for every paid citation. And to my knowledge, we haven't gotten that fee in quite a while.
And at least a couple of years, based on our records that we've been able to identify, probably been 2015.
So that's money outside of the escrow account that we should be collecting per ticket.
That has not been.
So we haven't been. And why hasn't the city been following up on the non-collection of that?
It's our understanding that there were several repeated requests for information as well as the financial information to be shared with the city. And those requests continued, but the city was not getting the response with that actual information provided. So that has been continuous.
So, and that, well, I mean, we haven't followed, just until now, that has been evident, we just drop the ball. So those are the kind of things that we have to have as a city, and I think our audits have showed that repeatedly. A process involved. We have to be able to regularly audit our partners. Any contracts that we go, any interlocal agreements, I think we've mentioned that through our other LGCs and other things that we've done recently, that we have that ability. So that's a fundamental flaw or fundamental issue with the city that we're not on top of that, and it's come back to be a real issue in regards to this program. Okay, so lastly, it's also, I have to point out, it's disappointing that during this legislation issue that we didn't try to work closer and identify that this was going to be, you know, if they were not financially stable and they were going to dissolve, the kind of financial interest that was going to be back on the city. And then I would also like you to look at, maybe the legislation speaks to this, but why is the operational responsibility of the school crossing guard taking such a backseat to the other, you know, to the bondholders and to the actual delivery of the bus system, but that's what it sounds like. Is that correct to say? And
would that be
the intent
statement
of the legislation?
Based on where we are today, I would say that we believe that priority was not included. We do believe that there are some considerations now because we have brought that to the attention of both the dissolution committee, and we've had some discussions with some state representatives as well. So we're making those rounds to ensure that we're communicating that out and talking about the impact on the city.
And then I just think we need to do all our due diligence of trying to figure out exactly how much is in that escrow account and move forward.
Yes, that process is underway.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Clayton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. When the city had it originally and it was under the jurisdiction of DPD, did we have patrol officers out there? Were they school crossing guards? Did they have the capacity to ticket? What do we know on that?
We'll have Chief Pugh to help us with that question.
It was run out of our traffic division. So the ultimate responsibility coordination, everything was routed through them. So that's what we talked about earlier. If a crossing guard didn't show up for work and and that location was going to be unaccounted for, we would have to send one of our traffic officers over there to.
Got it. And I remember you saying that. So when it was under DPD, if school crossing guards taking kids across the street and driver comes motoring through there at 35, did they have any capacity to ticket, or was it just kind of like what our crossing guards are now, where it's just random person? It wasn't a law enforcement officer, correct?
No, it was a law enforcement officer, but the problem is you wouldn't have the ability to serve both functions. You're going to do one or the other. You're either going to be the crossing guard that sure. day, or you're going to be an enforcement officer with the radar.
Right. No, okay, I get that. So I guess my question would be this. So, I mean, we're going to get hosed on this deal. I mean, we are. So we have to raise revenue. So if it goes under police right now, if it goes under police and they're sworn officers, and I understand they can't walk somebody across the street and ticket at the same time, I get that. Do we have a legal ability to write down license plates, to ticket? Is somebody speeding? Do we have any capacity to think outside the box? Because right now, like, I see that we have, you know, $600,000 in revenue. I doubt much of that revenue is people getting ticketed in school zones, because I haven't seen a patrol officer in a school zone maybe ever, or at least since the time I've been on here. So we're going to have to raise revenue somehow. So what are we not thinking about today that are best practices in other communities that we might be able to take advantage of, if there is anything?
Chief, if I could maybe take a stab at this. And first of all, let me just say that we're going to try to be as creative as we can if this direction of the council to try to find some of those resources, we'll do that. But I would like to point out that it would not be our recommendation to house this program in the police department for a variety of reasons, mainly being our staffing issues that we're currently having. We do not believe we would have the ability to cover the program like we had previously for those shortages. But certainly we would look for all the revenue sources that we could and look for some creative solutions. Quite frankly, we're grasping for solutions right now. We don't have a lot of answers.
Sure, and I am too, because, I mean, here's the reality. Okay, so we don't put it under police, and I totally get that. But we don't ticket in this town. We just don't. We're having our tickets drop every year over 5 years that I know of, and so we're going to have to raise revenue. So, as somebody who has kids in DISD, it's very disappointing that we had trustees doing PACs to dissolve this to where my children are possibly harmed. That's frustrating as a parent and a taxpayer. But as a city council representative, everything can't be on the expense line. Now we have to have something on the revenue line. So if it's in the will of the taxpayers to say we don't believe this is important, fine, though I think that was ill-informed, but now we've got to raise revenue, so we've got to start ticketing more. So with 18 officers, I think, that whose sole job is to ticket, how are we going to start ticketing more and change our business model to accommodate this?
Let me just address the issue about ticketing. First of all, our goal as a police agency isn't to write more tickets to raise revenue. Our goal is to provide a safe environment for the community. And so we do have a limited number of units elements assigned to the traffic unit right now. And we believe that as we are able to get our staffing numbers up, we will continue to see that activity pick up as we have more people on the streets. But right now, we would not be directing people to write more tickets to raise more revenue. That would be something we would be looking at in terms of enforcement for all traffic issues and all traffic laws.
I get it. I think the bigger point is, right now, if the ultimate goal, and I don't want to go too far off the rails on this thing, but if the ultimate goal is public safety, right, and now we're having a conversation about safety of children, but we don't take into account the fact that we don't, as a city, through lack of officers and lack of, frankly, focus of the previous chief, we don't ticket. And right now, this school crossing guard thing seems like such a 1980s kind of deal anyway, that you literally, every day I go to drop my kids off, and there's kids crossing. And by the way, we don't have a crossing guard, so I don't know why our kids didn't get it. But literally, I'll have people going through there 50 miles an hour through a school zone, and I've gone to Northeast and asked them about it, and I get the, you know, and I've gone to to others, and I can never get anybody out there. So I think that's something that we're going to have to take into account as part of this whole issue, because right now, by will of the people and by lack of opportunity, we got a big issue. So I guess my other question would be, is there a capacity to fund this through making an enterprise fund? I don't know enough about enterprise funds. So could theoretically we charge fees for this program? That way it's not coming out of the general fund. Is that doable?
The actual code gives us the different ways to fund the program, and that's how we get to that child safety fees that we've identified, the additional $5 on the parking citation, the $1.50 that can be levied on motor vehicle registration. And so it pretty much spells out the various fees that you can then charge to actually support a school crossing guard program.
Okay. All right. Okay, thank you.
Is that you done? Mr. Callahan.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. I don't think we need to overthink this or demagogue it or anything else. We've been there, done that. We know that we've got to have a school crossing guard program. We had one before, and so we're just going to have to backtrack and go back and recreate one. And I'm sure I have all the confidence in the world our city manager can get us to the promised land on that, but we are going to have to raise revenue, and I think we're just going to have to go to the county and let them know that we have a strong interest in collecting that fund, 50 cents to $1.50 on our vehicle registration. Other counties, I've done some research, and other counties have done that, and that's what we're going to have to do. Are there other ILAs looming out there that the city of Dallas is involved with and that we're obligated to that might come back and haunt us later? I guess that would be a question to the city manager. It seems like we're always at these gotcha points, and we didn't see that coming. Is there anything else coming that we need to be looking out for?
Not quite sure, Councilman. I think this has allowed us and given us the opportunity to really take stock and look at some of our ILAs, as well as our monitoring of those from a fiduciary standpoint and just a programmatic standpoint. So I think this has made us more aware. Back to even some of the comments related to just down in Austin, some of the awareness while we're dealing with other big issues, there's these small things that I think we should probably pay attention to and begin to look at these actual operational impacts of. So we're going to try to do that the best we can. And when we're aware of things, as I've hoped to have shared, we're sharing those things as they become known so that they are not big surprises. But we'll continue to scrub that. And as those things pop up, we will definitely make sure we share that with the appropriate committee as well as the entire council.
Thank you. I think that's a very, very even tempered answer. Did we ever audit the books or bank accounts of this program since it was instituted in 2012? If not, why not?
I do not believe that there was an audit done by the city.
Okay, and will we transfer responsibility and hire the existing crossing guards at least until the end of the year? Is that the current plan?
Part of our options that we have been looking at, both the interim and the long term, is how we could in the next, January the 31st is pretty close as far as time frame, and you're talking about over 400 school crossing guard officers currently. And so we have looked at different ways that we could get to an interim solution as well as to something more long term to at least get us to the end of the fiscal year. So with that, we have some estimated numbers. That would possibly include something like a job fair where we could identify who those current individuals are. We do have a list of the names of those crossing guards that was provided to us by the dissolution committee, so we know who they are. We would have to request contact information, and there was a request made to ask if the city would be willing to come and meet with the school crossing guards at some point in the next week or so. And so we are entertaining that as the council gives direction and feedback today. That is something that we would be pursuing.
Yeah, it's amazing how this thing seems to be a blindside, and the legislature just kind of indiscriminately said 850,000 population. So that means that someone like an Austin may not have to do it, Correct. But yet we have to do it, or maybe Fort Worth doesn't have to do it, but we have to do it. There's a lot of other larger cities out there that could kind of just skip out on that. So just because we're 1.3 million or Houston's 2.2 million, then that necessitates that we have to do that. I'm a bit uncomfortable with the screening process because these people need to interface with children, and I don't think the city of Dallas is naturally set up to do that because we're not in the business of teaching and interfacing with school-age children. So I just kind of wonder and question the intelligence of the legislature and kind of putting us on the backs of municipalities in the first place. Certainly don't mind helping pay for the cost of that or helping generate funds for that, but I just think the school district is in a better position than that local school. They can identify who the people are. There's probably retired people that are associated or maybe even right across the street from the school, elementary schools and middle schools and high schools and so forth. I just think they're a lot more adroit at doing this, you know, than we are in terms of screening and so forth. So that's one concern I have. Going back to Mr. Broadnax's comments, you know, in the future, TC, I just feel like we need better dissolution terms and conditions when we have to wind these ILAs down. You know, there has to be a better procedure. We also need to have a stipulation in there of rights to select individuals and representatives to represent us. You know, it's not fair just to say, okay, go dissolve that thing. We have half the contract, but we have no seats at the table. It makes no sense, you know. Any lease or any contract, and that's the business that I've been in 40 years, you know, always stipulates what happens, you know. You know, if there's a fire, or if there's a windstorm, or if this happens or if that happens, here's basically what happens next. But we seem to be in these open-ended contracts where we don't have any responsibilities or rights or any redress or anything else. And so I think we really need to go back in the city attorney's office and really make a real clear look at in terms of what those dissolution things are. And let's see if there's anything else. The last thing is a page out of Ms. Gates, you know, where she said, we just seem to continually struggle with operational programs and metrics that ask for us to collect and allocate and account for. It just seems to happen over and over. And I know, Craig, you know, in your audits, you keep finding the same old thing over and over and over. You know, if we're called upon with an ILA or any kind of contract, we need to set up, you know, we need to have the computer software in place that allocates and counts and determines and accounts and also goes back and audits, you know, these results so we can always make sure that we have the necessary monies without having big surprises every time. Thank you for the time, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Callahan. Mr. Kleiman.
Thank you, Mayor. A couple questions. So who is providing bus service for DIC right now?
That is still being provided through the dissolution committee. So the bus service supposedly will continue through the end of the school year.
And then after that, can you tell what the general plan is?
In our last discussion with DISD, which was the first, second week of December, we had an opportunity to meet here with the superintendent. And so they've already started the process of being able to look at how do they take the busing program back.
Okay. How are crossing guards who's provided crossing guards in other cities besides Dallas?
We actually have a handout that you should have received that shows the actual school districts and whether or not if those are being operated by either the city, the ISD, or a third party. And the one that we do know that there's currently a third party is with the Carrollton Farmers Branch, mm-hmm. Highland Park, and Sunnyvale.
But what about the other cities? So, for example, Richardson has Richardson ISD has about half of their students, actually more of their students are in Dallas than they are actually in Richardson. But who's operating their school crossing program in Richardson?
In Richardson, the city of Richardson.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then the portion of Richardson that yes, actually was Dallas was the city
school
of buses. Was DCS.
No, crossing guards.
Crossing guards.
Crossing guards, yeah, okay. All right, so on the stop arm program, is that still active?
We believe that program has continued. There have been some comments made to us that they would like to discontinue that program towards the end of January.
But it is still up and running.
We believe the program is still up and running.
And who is who's collecting those fees?
Dallas County Schools, so really through the Dissolution Committee.
Still collecting the Stop Arm?
Correct.
Okay. And how much do they collect on an annual basis through that program? Do we
know? I'm not certain of the actual number, but we can request that information.
And the administrative fee that we were supposed to collect was based on what monies?
The $5 adjudication, I believe.
Yeah, that it was $5 adjudication fee was based on a per paid citation. So
it was just on that, not on these other programs.
No, just the paid court. Citation through.
And we don't know how much that is.
I do not have that information. We've been asking for it, and I don't believe we have any details.
Are their books not, their finances not publicly available? You can't just, there's a category called adjudication fees. And
it's our understanding that the former staff, that those individuals are not there anymore, and so through the dissolution committee, they are going through records and emails to try to identify what they do have and what they do not have. And then the things that we have been requesting, when they've been able to find those things, they've been sending that information to the city. Okay. So that process is just ongoing.
And the Stop Arm program, we don't know how much money is involved in that.
We do not.
Okay. So we, the city of Dallas, passed an ordinance allowing them to have a Stop Arm program, right?
Correct.
So the city of Dallas could repeal that ordinance, like, next week, correct?
That is an option, yes, sir.
And that would stop the program?
That is one option, yes, sir.
We believe so, yes.
Okay. Or option B would be for the city manager's office to send a letter telling them to terminate the program.
That's
correct.
But
and we and
staff
we
needs to pursue one or both of those directions because – I mean, they owe us money for our school guard program, but they're not going to provide it. We can't still enable them to have a Stop Arm program that's funding a big portion of their nonsense. Well, actually, what they're doing is not nonsense. Their delivery of services. If they're not coming to the table with us, with what we need this service. We need the school crossing service. I have this feeling that despite the fact that they've heard a lot of people that don't want the Stop Arm program continued, that the amount of money that's being made in that program and the amount of leverage that they've used to issue bonds against that program, it'll probably draw their attention pretty quickly if we get posted for next week an item to repeal the ordinance that allows the program. So we'll just put a stop to them immediately. So please pursue that and get some information back on us. What is the status of our conversations with Dallas County adding the $1.50 to the registration fees?
The last discussion that we had regarding the county's support and participation in that was probably the end of November. There has not been any additional conversations at this time. But I know that there have been some previous conversations even before November with some key members of the Commissioner's Court to actually ask for their support and their participation. I would have to let Brett and the team detail any of those discussions, but I know that there were prior discussions. It's my understanding that this has been talked about for maybe eight or nine different years.
They met with commissioners or met with staff? What have we done?
There was a meeting with with one particular commissioner.
Which commissioner?
Commissioner Price. Uh-huh. And that meeting was with myself and with the city manager. The end of November, the beginning
the response,
of December.
You know, there is a judge that runs, okay? We met with Judge Jenkins on this issue?
We've not personally met with the judge.
Okay. So do we need to do that? Do we need to take that on as an intergovernmental political, I mean, elected to elected to get them to implement this fee?
We believe that would be appropriate.
Okay. I don't see that in the recommendations anywhere. So if you want us to do that, we're happy to do it, but don't leave it to us to figure it out. We'll do that. We'll take those measures immediately. Let's see. Okay, with regards to getting on the dissolution committee, we need to have an appointment from Glenn Hager, the comptroller, to do that?
It's our understanding that that's how those appointments were made. It was not something that was just done, and so it was through the state comptroller.
Okay, so that's another, I guess, IGS thing to do. We need to immediately get with the comptroller and get a position on that committee so we have a say on that. So that's okay. So I think I have three action items for staff. One is to get us on the dissolution committee, get an accurate assessment of how many fees are being collected and what is owed us and what's out there. I know that's and to either repeal the stop arm ordinance or to have the city manager send a letter saying that the program is over. And that's all I have at this point in time. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Felder.
Wait.
Oh, excuse me.
No, that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Felder.
Yes. I tend to agree with my colleague, Mr. Kleinman. This is political season, and the governor is up for reelection. Mr. Huffines, who came up with this legislation and this election, came up with this, and so I think we need to put it right back in their court. I'm not willing to just bow down and accept this. I think the first thing I'd like to talk about is revisiting interlocal agreements with DISD, Dallas County, and the state of Texas, because I think some of the interlocal agreements that we have, particularly this one, is out of balance. It's unconscionable for the taxpayers as well as the city to continue to abide by what we're being faced with at this time. So my question is, has anyone met with the governor or spoken with the governor or Senator Huffines at this time?
We have not had a meeting with the governor, nor have we spoken directly with Senator Huffines. We did have a meeting the week before Christmas with Senator West, who agreed to assist with getting the parties to the table.
Okay. So that, you know, I have action items as well. So I am requesting that we meet with the governor. We meet with Don Huffines, and we meet with the North Texas legislative body, you know, all of the legislators in North Texas, because I see this as a political issue, and we need to apply the pressure on these people because a lot of them are up for reelection. And so we have a legislative liaison that can apply that, but also every council member here is represented by somebody at the state level, state representative, state senator, at the county, county commissioner. My county commissioner is Teresa Daniel. I will be giving her a call. And so I think, and Clay Jenkins, I will be giving him a call. And so I think that we need to apply the pressure from around this horseshoe in order to get this thing done. And I think that we can do it. I'd like to know how much of the pay, what is the benefits? How much are we paying in benefits, or whoever's paying the benefits for the crossing guards, how much of that are we paying? Or has the county paid?
It's not the total 404. Mm-hmm. We do believe that it was offered as an option.
Just as a percentage, for example, the health insurance represented 4.7% of their total compensation, mm-hmm. Their total budget for the program, and the retirement was 3.1%. So a total of about 7% for those two elements. But not everybody received them.
Okay.
There was just a handful of employees that got those benefits.
Do you have an aggregate dollar amount?
For the actual, for the 16-17 year, $198,000 for health insurance and $130,000 for the retirement.
That's for all 400 crossing guards?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
For those that received it out of the 400.
I see. I got you.
I'm not sure of the number of actual individuals that received that benefit. We just know that's the aggregate data.
Well, just, you know, just there's a possibility, worst case scenario, if we do have to end up with the crossing guards. First of all, I am against putting it under the police department. I think we need to maybe go to code enforcement or somewhere else. But I don't want any sworn officer taken off the street to deal with crossing kids across the street. Love the kids. They need to be protected. But I don't think that the police department is where they should be. Let's talk about vehicles. Did Dallas, the city of Dallas, give vehicles or loan vehicles to Dallas County Schools?
There were some vehicles transferred as part of them taking the program that were transferred from the city over to DCS.
Okay.
And we have requested a list of, from an inventory standpoint, so we can see how many of those vehicles that were actually transferred. We do believe that a couple of them were transferred back to the city previously that were actually damaged. And so we're going through that process now determining what they still have that belongs to the city of Dallas.
So at this time, we don't know how many vehicles are with Dallas County Schools from the city of Dallas?
Not at this time.
Okay. So I would action item, I'd like to get an accounting of the vehicles and the total asset value. So, you know, again, the last thing is I'd like to ask that we get audit records from the Dallas County Schools for the last 5 years. Let's see what has been happening in terms of the monies, because we may be saddled with this, but I want to know what the picture is. And so I'm against having the meeting with the crossing guards at this time. I'm not ready to concede that we're going to be the entity that's going to take them in. And so my vote is against that at this time. Nothing against the crossing guards, but I want to protect our interests. I want to turn over every rock before we decide that we're going to take this on. We have enough on our plate right now with all of the things that we're dealing with. We just came out of the police and fire pension fund debacle. And so here it is. We have something else in 2018 on our plate. And so that's why I have the stance that I have at this time. I'm not ready to accept that. So that's pretty much all I have to say. But I think, once again, let me reiterate, I think this is a political issue, and we need to put the pressure back on those elected officials, starting with the county commissioners, county judge, DISD, as well as state senators, state representatives, the governor, and the comptroller. And we need to demand a seat at the table. Is Mr. Castro here? A question for you. So is it possible that we can demand a seat on the resolution committee or file a lawsuit or something like that in order to get a seat?
I believe we have a meeting scheduled coming up very shortly with the comptroller or discussion that
I've asked for a phone call, so we're taking care of it. Okay.
Well, I want to ask it this way. Okay. You know, I understand we need to have.
We don't demand anything. We just don't.
We can demand, Mayor. I mean, that's the way you look at it. Well, wait a minute. I have the floor. So that's your position. That's not how I see it. And so that's the way I feel. Okay. Is that all right?
Of course it is.
Thank you.
I'm just saying that I'm not going to demand anything.
That's fine, but I'm talking to the city attorney.
Thank you. The city, can you demand, Mr. Castro?
The legislation calls for the appointment of the dissolution committee to be made by the state comptroller. I think it is through that process, Councilman, that would be our best hope. I don't see a legal cause of action to demand a right because the legislation simply didn't give us a mandatory spot on the committee.
Okay. Well, let's make sure that it's a strongly worded letter or a strongly worded conversation that you have with him. Thank you. Are you about the remainder of my time?
Thank you. Mr. Kingston.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So, Mr. Fortune, you don't want to house this program under DPD for some reasons you illustrated, correct?
That would be my recommendation, okay, is to not house it there.
Well, Ms. Tolbert, you and Mr. Fortune seem to be doing a great job. Do you want to handle the program going forward?
We work at the pleasure of the council, and so our goal is to, of course, to ensure that we can operate efficiently and we can do it in the most prudent manner and find the feasible location in the city for it to be housed.
Well, you're
We've just not identified
you're
that
You're quite
yet.
Professional, but you did grimace, which I think is appropriate. So the two of you don't want to run it. Long term, doesn't it make sense to combine busing with school crossing guard programs?
That would be ideal.
And DISD has either not responded or said they're not interested. Which was it?
It was understanding there was a meeting with some representatives of DISD last month, and it's primarily been we've got our own issues. We're trying to figure out the whole busing piece of it, and so they have not, you know, raised a hand to say give it to us. And so we have had some discussions prior to November, during November, and during the month of December about that.
But is it fair of me to say that of the people, of the stakeholders at the table, people who are affected by the dissolution of DCS, no one has volunteered to take this program under its wing?
That's a correct statement.
Okay. And it's very clear that we need efficient, safe busing and school guard crossing guard programs in place, right?
Correct.
So it's almost like we should have an independent agency that handles those two things, right?
That would be ideal.
Okay, amazing. with regard to the stop arm citations, do those have a public safety benefit?
To the extent that there are children who could potentially be at risk if folks were passing a school bus in an unsafe manner, yes, I would say they have a public safety benefit.
Okay. So would it be prudent to instantly cease the citation program, even if we think it's being administered poorly and we're not getting our cut?
Well, at this moment, we don't have control over the dollars or funds for the revenue that would be generated from at this point. So I suppose there's a possibility in the future that could provide a revenue source, but we do not have access or control of that at this time.
Yeah, we talked about that yesterday, and I appreciate both of you being very proactive in telling council what was going on with this. But the question, I maybe didn't ask it very clearly. Would it be prudent to immediately cease the stop arm ticket program?
From a public safety standpoint, there could be some concerns.
If they have a public safety benefit, then stopping the citations is likely to negatively impact public safety. Is that a fair statement?
I would say yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. A couple points, and then I'll probably have some questions for TC if he's available. I'll just give him a start on that to track him down. First, I agree with the point made earlier that children's safety is absolutely paramount. And then on the composition of this dissolution committee, I think it's an excellent idea for the mayor to reach out to the appropriate state officials and have the city have quite a bit. I'd like to see some substantial representation on this board. Other than that, so our plan right now, effective January 31st, the interim plan that's being proposed, is are you proposing that the city of Dallas go ahead and take this over?
We've looked at that from an interim standpoint for maybe about 90 days, which would give us additional time to continue the discussions with the partners to come up with a more feasible solution going down the road. And so we're really looking at just a short-term solution at this point.
That's excellent. I would support that, just given the gravity of the situation with the crossing guards. I don't want us to have an extra responsibility, but we are charged with the health, safety, and welfare for the public, and certainly the city of Dallas won't shirk its responsibility, so I'm in support of that. Also, I'd like to get some more visibility into this red light arm camera program, where the money's going. So I think we should have some ideas. My understanding is we do have an adjudication office that handles the appeals and then go to the municipal court over at Ocmock. We have a whole office that handles these red light cameras that's full of City of Dallas employees. So I've heard several answers from city staff to the council about where the money's going and all that, don't we have any more detail instead of just asking Dallas County Schools for information?
Yeah, I know how
Can
many.
We go over to Ocmok?
Yeah, we know some information in terms of what has been appealed and what we've been receiving in terms of an appeal for a fine, but we don't know what it ultimately is paid, and that's what's the calculation of the administrative fee is based off of the actual paid, so because it's paid to DCS.
So it's paid to DCS.
That's correct.
And is it in the ordinance that it's paid to DCS, or where is that?
I believe it's in the ordinance, yes.
Well, let's amend that ordinance next. We need to keep this program for safety. We're in charge of the ordinance. We heard that the ordinance may say that the payments go to Dallas County Schools. What's next Wednesday? Let's amend the ordinance that the payments go to the city of Dallas. We're stepping up. We're going to have to manage this program for 90 days. Let's offset some of these expenses. And we've already got an adjudication department over in Ocmok that hears a number of these. Is it on the second floor over on Jefferson?
I'm not sure which floor it is in. Yes, it is.
So I think that we do have quite, is it at times in this discussion, it seems like the stop sign program here that the city of Dallas has been working very closely with DCS. I would say so because we have a office on the second floor that handles the tickets. So we should have some more information about how many tickets are there, how many are getting appealed, some information on that database. And then let's just in this ordinance, let's revise it next week that all payments go to the city of Dallas and specify a new address. And if we're receiving any money through our appeals office and our office at Ocmok, if they touch any money, they should not be sending a penny out the door to DCS. We need to work with our attorneys and escrow that money or somehow keep it. I don't know why if we also have the appeals office that hears appeals, possibly do they ever take money, receive money?
I don't believe so.
So they don't take any money? Okay.
Councilman, let us go and check to see if, in fact, the remittance of the fee is to the city or DCS, if that's in the ordinance. That may be in the ILA. And so we'll have to check that as we come back to you. It's my understanding that we do not collect any dollars, and we do have information, I think as John Fortune mentioned, on the number of tickets issued as well as those that have been appealed, those that go to municipal court versus our hearing officer. And so we have those numbers. I think the odd part is, again, we don't know if people have paid and or if they've gone to collection. Whatever that process is has been outside our purview, but we'll continue to ask those questions, and we'll come back based on, obviously, all the input we've received today and share what we do now know better based on those questions with council and bring an ordinance forward as prudently and
That'd be great.
As quick as possible.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. We have a couple of people that want to have a second round, but let me make a couple of comments before we do that. Look, this is an ugly situation that we're in. But in some ways, I'm very glad we're starting to resolve this. There was terrible rot in this organization, okay? And so I supported the dissolution of DCS. I think it was the right thing to do, and we're seeing why it was the right thing to do right now in this. The key is, you know, kind of how do we go forward? It's obvious that rot was in operations. I mean, you know, you look at, we were able to do something for 2.2, and they move it. They add another $2 million on stuff. They terrible management decisions. I question the sale leaseback issue for all their property and how they funded stuff. And there's possible illegal issues as well that have been in the press. What do we need to do? Sadly, this dissolution process is like a bankruptcy. It is. And it happens all the time, and you usually have a situation where debtors get in fights, okay? That's what happens in bankruptcy. I think the great news is that we have a situation where everybody is aligned to protect the children. As Mr. Griggs said, the protection of children is foremost, and the protection of taxpayers. And we're going to have to work this out together. So going forward, I think we need to do the following. One, as I said, I'm going to call the comptroller and try to get representation the way we think it's right to be on this committee. Second is that we need to make sure that we get DCS, the City of Dallas, DISD, and Dallas County all in the room together. We work as silos too many times in the city, so this is a chance to show the citizens we can work together for the good of those children and for taxpayers and do this thing in the right way. I'm pleased. I talked to Senator West. He has volunteered to pull that group together, and I am going to applaud him for that and participate in any way that Senator West wants to do that. And then the last thing, I feel that the will of the council is to move rapidly on whatever we can do. So I will work with Mr. Broadnex in the next a day and a half to see if there's anything we should vote on next Wednesday and post it as an addendum item to get us in a place where we're aligned from our ordinance. So I'll do that for everybody. And second round, Mr. Caraway.
And I'll make it short, Mayor. Let me say that from hearing from the colleagues and the concerns, I agree with all of the concerns that's been put on the table, every one of them. So I think that we should move forward. I would like to ask our auditor if he would come quickly and let's get one thing clarified by way of Craig. Is Craig is still here. Is it whose responsibility is it to make sure that from 2012 to here we are today as it relates to auditing?
So the term audit gets thrown around a lot, but right. There's a difference between auditing, external auditing, such as what we may do,
right.
And what are ongoing monitoring responsibilities for any contract that the city has, which is a management function.
So it should be the monitor. It's not an auditor problem. It's a monitor. We have the responsibility to monitor the program.
Well, monitoring is the first line of defense. Auditing okay. Is the second line of defense.
All right, and thank you. So if we did not do our monitoring, and it was not on you, Mr. City Manager, but we gotten to a point to where somehow the ball has dropped through monitoring. Now, Ms. Tobin, who is controlling and monitoring and issuing the tickets today on bus arm cameras?
That is actually still under the control of the dissolution committee.
All right. So now, if they are having that done, who and where would that money go? They're issuing tickets today. You have 25 people hypothetically running the red lights, the stop arms. Who and where is that money going to today?
We would have to assume, and we're not for sure, but the assumption would be that money is going back into what is considered what they're using to dissolve the actual agency.
And we don't know the amount of that, or nor do we know how many they are doing.
We've requested that information.
And they've not been cooperative.
They have been responsive to our request, but there has been information that we've asked them for that they're still trying to gather the data to provide that to the city.
Because it disturbs me today that this subject that we know, this particular topic, is so huge that none of the people are here with Dallas that have or plan a part in the decision-making as relate to what's going to happen to us and our taxpayers. Not one is in the audience, not DISD, none of the dissolution people, none of the county people, none of the folks that are involved with this. We're here like we're on a beach getting ready to swim naked, and we're handling a problem that they should be here with us trying to handle this problem. So with that, Mayor, I would ask that we do follow your lead, as you said, and that is to get the head of states in here with us or somewhere at a table that can help resolve this problem so it will not fall completely on the backs of the citizens and the taxpayers of the city of Dallas. One last thing I will ask. Tell me about Houston and San Antonio. They are both cities that have populations, greater than 850. What is it that they're doing with their bus arm program. Now, not the bus arm, but the school crossing guards.
We requested information as it relates to what's happening within the region. We could go and gather what's actually happening with Houston. I'm not certain whether or not if it's a responsibility of the city of Houston or if that's being done in a partnership or through a third party how it's actually funded.
Well, I think we should.
But I see Britt standing up in the back. He may have an answer.
The counties down there are charging that $1.50 fee.
Okay.
I just wanted to
so the counties are charging it. And what I want us to find, because we're just looking at DeSoto, Duncanville, and the suburbs that we have here, I want to know what are San Antonio and Houston, two cities that are greater populations than 850, what are they doing? Then let's find out how they are doing it. And then if they are not doing it and not in response or responsible for it, then we need to, by next week, have that information so we can mock exactly what their position has been. Because I understand that they're not doing it.
So you want to know who's operating and how they're funding the program in both of those cities?
Is the city of Houston doing what we're being asked to do, or have they found another way? Is the city of San Antonio doing what we're about to be asked to do, or how are they doing it? Okay. Is that fair?
Yes, sir.
Right. Thank you, Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mayor.
Excuse me, Ms. Grayson hasn't spoken and decided to speak now, so I'll let you speak first.
Thank you. Kim, you gave us the list of the names of people who are on the committee. Who are they representing?
I'm not sure if we have the actual name of each entity. Let me try this. So the dissolution committee was required to have a financial advisor, the superintendent or his designee, a certified public accountant, a licensed auditor, a licensed bond attorney, and one representative appointed by the Commission of Education. So the list of names that I read off, we will identify based on those names who fit those exact criteria.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Gates.
Thank you, and I'll be quick. I had that same question that Mr. Curry just asked. So if you could verify that San Antonio, Houston, it sounds like both of their counties are collecting the $1.50, which is, an important fact to know. And I think we need to move us forward on whoever is going to be running this program that is made possible. And I think it's San Antonio. I think their ISD does it, and I think Houston PD does it. But I think we need to know that information exactly. And regarding the time frame, I support going forward. I think if we need to have things put on the agenda next week, though, we need to carve out some time. Or you got to get these memos out to us so we have all the informed information before making the decisions. I don't know if we even call a special meeting that just deals with our options and then having proposed voting items next week. I don't know if that's possible, but we and I would also I've heard this January 31st date, I think just onboarding all these employees to the city of Dallas is going to be challenging. It's going to incur – there's going to be a cost. I think you've told me that there's a cost associated with that.
Yeah.
That if we can start working together with the county and the school district, if they could continue it, even if they gave us 30 more days, and we could save the taxpayers that money that's associated to onboarding to whoever's going to be taking it over, that –
That would be ideal.
Ideal. Mm-hmm. I mean, January 31st, to be able to for us to take all the responsibility on, we're not going to be able to get these funding sources, revenue sources in place. And we're also going to have an issue that Mr. Callahan brought up about onboarding these employees, because we're taking on that responsibility at that point. So I think if we could delay it and then find the ultimate group to be able to be responsible. And it'd be maybe a hybrid group or whatever, but then the city has to do their due diligence and not be, creating this interlocal agreement with an organization that can't stand up to the obligations that they've taken on, which is exactly what we did, with DCS, 4 years back. So I just, those are things to consider, but we have to take action pretty quick, and if that's changing our ordinance, if it's getting, we need to have a seat. There's no reason why we shouldn't have had a seat on this dissolution committee and from the very beginning. And, you know, all those other things, I think we're all in agreement that need to take place going forward. So,
Mayor, if I may, I do want to add that with the additional $1.50 that we're talking about that Dallas County is currently not doing, it would not be immediate. That
right, it would
additional
take a
funds,
long time.
It would be around February or January of 2019 before we would see any of those funds. And even with that additional potential source, we would still be looking at about a $2 million gap. So that does not necessarily take care of the full cost of the program.
Right. No, I understand that.
Funds.
So
I just want to make sure that was clear.
I mean, I think we're giving you kind of marching orders right now to get together and try to, you've heard all of our input. And I mean, we can hash out why we got in this situation over and over, but we got to move forward at this point and put some real opportunities that I think council members have all given to you by amending ordinances, start our lobbying process to get these revenues. Whatever it might take, but because ultimately, you know, all three of these bodies, the school district, the county, and the city, we want to put our kids first and keep them safe, and we've got to do it, and we have that responsibility, and we've got to figure out how it's going to happen.
Thank you, Mr. Kleiman.
Thank you. I guess add to the list the other city that, of course, has more than 850,000 people is the People's Republic of Austin, so you may want to add that to the list and see what they're doing. Okay, so a couple of clarifications. I know earlier when I gave my task list, I said let's look at repealing the ordinance, but per Mr. Keenton's concerns about the fact that the Stop Arm program is providing a public safety component, I guess I would kind of modify along the lines that Mr. Griggs said, which is really it's about just stopping the money going to DCS, and if we can continue to collect that money and then determine what we're going to send and whatnot. That's more what my objective was. I did check with Richardson School Board, and they said that the Richardson Police Department provides their school crossings. And I'm not clear on the $1.50 that the county, you were going to ask the county to collect. Would that only be going to the city of Dallas would go to any agency?
It would actually have to go to all the school districts within Dallas County. They would do it based on population.
Right.
And
it wouldn't just be us. I mean, the other.
It actually would go to the cities in Dallas County based on their population.
Right. Right. So actually, if we can move the county to start collecting this fee, I mean, it also benefits Richardson, Irving, and other.
It would benefit
others,
all of them.
Other
correct.
People that have school districts within the Dallas County. And then the last thing I would just caution is, I know that we're going to have to act quickly, and that may mean taking on these employees, but let's take a look at it as doing it as a temporary fix through the end of the school year and then see if there is an option to outsource it or if there's a company that wants to take these people on and run the program or something like that. Let's just not bloat the city staff long term because of this. Let's make sure we're doing it the right way to do it.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you. We will recess at 12:02 and come back at 1 o'clock. We've got one more item. We don't have any other speakers, so it should be a short, you know, I can't believe it's going to be more than an hour long. Okay? See you at 1 o'clock after lunch. Good afternoon. It's 1:05 p.m., and I will call the City Council, Dallas City Council meeting back from recess and open. We have, can we close that door? Thank you. And we will have briefing B. Ms. Reich, is this yours?
It is.
All
thank
right.
you.
Take us away.
Thank you. Happy New Year, everybody. We're glad to be here today to be able to talk about our community survey, which will be going out in just a few days to constituents. So we wanted to let you know about the survey. And I'm going to ask LaToya Jackson in our Office of Budget to deliver the briefing today. And, of course, we're joined as well by Jack Ireland, our Budget Director. LaToya.
Well, howdy. Today kicks off our 2018 Customer Perception Survey activities.
We have numerous outreach efforts which will occur to communicate with residents, including a press release to the major media outlets with over 200 media representatives that will be contacted. This includes not only the major, but also some of our smaller in affinity or minority publications as well. Additionally, over 9,500 residents will be contacted via GovDelivery, and we will also be able to share information out through social media, including our Facebook and Twitter accounts, and there are plans to post a feature article on Dallas City News. Similar surveys have been administered for years, beginning in 1993. The years of administration are listed for you to review. This survey is administered by an independent consultant who randomly selects households from a list of residents with a landline or a cell phone within Dallas. The consultants work to achieve a minimum of 100 respondents per council district. Methods used to ensure responses include a mailed survey with follow-up phone calls and or emails to ensure the minimum number are received from each council district. The survey is approximately 7 pages long and takes 15 to 20 minutes to complete. These results are statistically valid for all 14 districts with a confidence level of 95% and a plus or minus margin of error of 2.5%. As next steps, we will continue our outreach efforts to alert residents that they may be asked to participate in this community survey. An introductory letter will go to potential households by the end of this week, and the community surveys will go to households the week of January 17th. Finally, the consultant will be here on site to present the survey findings to you all May 2nd. This concludes our briefing, and so we will now open it up to you all for questions.
This is it? I thought it was like 10 minutes long. All right. That's good. Good, good. I like it. I like it. I like it. I'm not. I just
want we can
these people are going to complain why we had to come back, okay, that I called the wrong audible. We should have just stayed. So I do have a couple questions. Are we doing the exact same thing we've done for all these years, the same protocol?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And is this the same protocol they do for all the other cities that we rank against?
Yes, sir.
Okay. It's the second page. I was always taught as a researcher, you never tell people they're going to be researched. And why do they feel like that's interesting? I didn't know we told everybody. There's a piece of research that's coming out. Well, that's what the whole thing on research is, be blind.
You wouldn't fill it out if you thought it was
trying to get
your information.
No, maybe. That's the way they do it. Okay. You know what I mean? It's.
Well, we do want to encourage responses, right?
I'll ask him in May. Okay,
right.
The question, because it's.
They have to send out about 6,500 surveys to receive the 1,400 they need to make it statistically valid. So the outreach is intended to try and raise that response rate.
Yeah, no, I got it. Thanks. Mr. Thomas?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Let me ask a question first. It's going to kind of determine how far I'll go. It says today, January 3rd, is the kickoff for the 2018 Customer Perception Survey. Was any of this information provided to any of the council members prior to today?
No. We've talked about doing the survey as part of the budget process, but we did not distribute this.
I think I've made mention of this before. Please engage us in this process prior to kicking off something of this nature. The reason I say that is because, you know, we all got elected with at least 50%, if not more, percent of the vote. My point in saying that is we have influence that can really encourage, like the mayor talked about, you know, the perception when you're being asked to fill out some knowing in advance. If we're aware prior to the kickoff, we can help most of us. I'm Facebook friends, but most of us have social media pages. If we have the information prior to the kickoff, we can be real partners with this initiative. I was really excited when I saw this in the briefing because I know how successful the last survey. When we had our retreat, the results were made, and showed how well the city and different services were perceived. I was really excited about that. But I said, you know what? I think we would get a lot further along if even, right before the holiday, we said, hey, we're planning to kick off, our community survey. We have a flyer here. Can you post it on your social media? Don't ask us the day of that you're kicking off, I see a lot of different media and different ways in which you're going to get, but we have a lot of influence. And so for the last time, hopefully, please engage us in the process prior to starting the process. A couple of questions. Who is the consultant that was hired?
We'll be using ETC Institute.
How were they selected?
We held an informal bid process.
What did that entail?
It entailed working with our partners in purchasing to put out a solicitation on the street. It involved allowing vendors to self-select if they wanted to respond to that bid. We then gathered those responses, put a committee together, had the committee to review the responses. They then ranked and scored.
Has this vendor or this consultant, have they been used? Were they used the last time we did this?
Yes, sir. We have used these vendors since either 2009 or 2011. Forgive me, I don't remember at this moment off the top of my head.
And were they invited to be here today?
No, sir, not today, but they come to provide the results in person to council, and it's scheduled for May 2nd at this time.
Once again, the back end. If you could just be intentional about making sure that we're informed and we're part of it on the front end. I would love to sit down with the consultant prior to the kickoff because I may have some insight that I can share with them that specific because I noticed in the brief it says at least 100 people. The target will be at least 100 people in each council district. I could help with that process. So please engage me, engage us. I think I speak for everybody in the process going forward. Thanks, man.
Thank you. Mayor.
Mr. Broadnax.
Yeah, and I don't want to set up, and I'm not privy to prior requests. And I think I don't want to create a false sense of, and we'll hear the same conversation next year. I'm not quite certain beyond notification and outreach, which I think the mayor alluded to, trying to draw in and influencing who participates. If there's concerns about the questions that are asked, I think those are legitimate questions. But this is pretty much staff work, and so I'm not quite sure of just that level of engagement on, one, a non-policy issues for some respect and creating an expectation that we're doing something that we're not doing right. It's not customary, and I don't know what customary is or isn't around here, but if you wanted input on the questioning, those are things that we should be reviewing long before that. I don't disagree, but I'm just not quite sure I understand what your expectations are other than sharing information and getting input on what or meeting with the consultant pre-survey. I think I don't understand the value of that from my perspective, so I'd like to at least understand a little bit more.
Sure, I can answer that. What I'm referring to is oftentimes we find out that something is going to take place in a briefing as opposed to finding out, before. Like I say, I'm excited about the community survey. I think we'll get, a lot of honest feedback. I think we'll get most of the feedback will be positive because, and I give you credit under your leadership, people are they see you as a breath of fresh air. And so my point that I'm making is with something of this nature, I would love to have been able to, post in advance, post this on my social media, send it out through my email list, let people know, hey, on January 3rd, first of the year, we could have done it before Christmas, kind of letting people know that this was coming, because I don't think it's a gotcha type of situation. I think it's something we want people to be aware of, and that way, kind of save the day, something to look forward to. Your input is important in moving forward, moving the city forward. That's what I'm referring to.
Okay, I was just trying to get clarification. If it's about...
Yeah, I care less about the questions.
I thought it was more or less get into figuring out what's in the survey and all that. I just wanted to get clarity so we can do it right. That's right. Okay.
I will say that the survey itself is not distributed until January 17th. So by kickoff, what we were saying is this is the kickoff of the campaign to let people know about it. And so we do have a couple of weeks here that we can certainly engage in the ways that you're describing.
Thank you. Ms. Gates.
Thank you, Mayor. And I think this is a good tool, and it's a good tool because it's statistically relevant. And the only way for it to be that way is that it's we can't direct the people to them. It's just we need to be and I think it is important that we tell them we're putting this out there so that they trust it. I actually got it in the mail last year, and I took it. But I questioned. I think when I got it, I just made sure it was actually, you know, an official document that I was filling out and sharing some information with and wasn't going to be misused. And I think that's what the public needs to understand is that this is we contract out. But it has to be the questions, one, have to be asked the same way year after year so the information that we compare from year to year is relevant and it actually we're getting statistically relevant information. But I think really our only rule is just to say this is a legitimate piece of information used by the city. We can't go out there or it wouldn't be statistically relevant if we essentially had people come forward to take it, and that could be skewing the results. So I just think my only comment was that it, just to make sure that we get that information out there that's on maybe on the banner on our website when people go to the web. If you get it in the mail, like I got it in the mail and – you know, I was aware that we were sending it out, so I, you know, was pretty confident it came from this. But it doesn't come with our city stamp, and, it doesn't come addressed from us. It comes from this consultant. But that if someone goes to the city website, they could just put, you know, these have been mailed or whatever. If you've got this is legitimate. I think that's our responsibility just to make sure that people are aware of that and having it. Because sometimes our website can be difficult to navigate, and if they're trying to look for it on there, they might not be able to find it. But if it's like a banner, like when we had the alerts, and we decided that if an emergency alert was going off, that you could just, as soon as you went to the website, you could see it. So if it's on there, if it's just, hey, these did go out, and they are from the city, and this is why we use, and then maybe directing you at a page of how we use that information. So that'd be my only thing I want to add today. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Clayton.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. So when we talked about in the summer, you were saying that you wanted to do the customer service survey just to, as part of the budgeting process. And I think to your credit, when you came back, I think you really made a sincere attempt to do that. So I guess my question is, I see that, you know, we've done it basically, we did it one time in 93 and then we started in 2005 kind of off and on. With us doing it now, a two-year budget cycle, do we need to do this? I know it's not a ton of money, but do we need to do it every year? Or would it be better every 2 years? Because if we're making changes in the budget.
It's every 2 years.
Oh, did I miss? I'm sorry. Well.
You're brilliant.
Okay, got it. And then the only other question I had is, Mayor, you had mentioned about peer city research. Do we, and you were saying about a standard, if I understood you right, about a standard criteria of asking the questions. So this is how we rank our – what is this used for in terms of ranking versus
peer
other cities?
Yeah. They always show it norm, what our score is, how our score improved or went down from last year, and how our score is vis-a-vis peer cities, and did it go up or down.
Okay, got it. All right, well, thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you. On the appendix where you show us the questions, question number 22, the last item says enforcement of yard parking regulations in your neighborhood. Yard parking? What's yard parking?
In some areas, people will literally park their vehicle in the grassy area of their front yard rather than in the approved driveway or
right,
on the
that's
street.
Illegal. You're not supposed to park on an unimproved surface. So that's what that's referring to?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. What about in the back of your house, next to your driveway on the grass? Is that legal or illegal?
It's illegal.
believe that's illegal as well.
We'll have to get an answer to that question.
We don't talk about that, Mr. McHugh is saying. So it's an unimproved surface, either front or back. Okay. Thank you. That's what I needed to know.
Thank you. Thank you. Mr. Felder.
Yes. Can you blow up this flyer, the survey, a little bit?
Okay, hold on. Mr. Felder's got the mic. Yeah, please.
Can you blow up the survey a little bit? No? Okay. All right. Anyway, how do you go about putting your list together? I've been in Dallas many, many years. I've never received a survey.
How do we go about putting the list of individuals?
Who are you sending it out to? Because I'm a pretty active person. I've never received a survey.
Well, the survey is not based on your level of activity within the city. It is a random sampling. So any person who has a landline or a cell phone within the city of Dallas with the city of Dallas address as the billing address is a potential respondent. And there's nothing that any of us can do to impact being included or excluded. Mm. We didn't know that Councilwoman Gates was included until she told us last year. It's not something that we, the city, have any impact or influence.
Because I know the city of Dallas has been doing these surveys for many, many years. And I've had a landline and email address and cell phone for most of that, for most of 30 years. Mm-hmm. Never have I received. So I guess I want to ask the question as to, is it done by zip code? Is it done by council district? How, you know, what is the delineation of where those surveys are going?
The surveys are distributed throughout the city.
Mm-hmm.
The information on council district and zip code is included, mm-hmm. as are the long and lat of each address, so mm-hmm. that when the responses are received, it can be mapped and tracked mm-hmm. Accordingly. But when it comes to identifying who will be a potential, it is mostly along district lines, mm-hmm. so that we'll be able to ensure that we had the minimum of 100 respondents per council district.
It's a lottery system,
basically.
So how many surveys did you send out?
First, let me go on record to say we, the city, don't send them out. The vendor is the one that sends them
out. Okay, how many did the vendor send out?
The vendor sends out, it's my understanding, over 6,500 in order to receive a response pool with at least 1,400.
I think I saw 9,500 up on one of the first slides. What was that?
That was about the registered, those are the residents who are part of the City of Dallas's Gov Delivery database system.
Okay. So 6,500 roughly mm-hmm. went out. Okay. And what is the name of this company that did the survey?
ETC Institute.
ETC. And where are they located?
They're located in Olathe, Kansas.
Olathe, Kansas. Mm-hmm. And have we used them before? Or?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
We've used them either since 2009 or 2011. I don't know that off the top of my head right now.
Did we do an RFP for this?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And do we have any local response?
We did have a few respondents. There may have been one other local agency, mm-hmm. but the majority of them were not from the Dallas area.
Hmm.
One of our requirements is that you must have experience surveying large municipalities,
mm-hmm.
and another requirement is that you are able to map the data. Mm-hmm. And so when we looked at the responses, one group was disqualified because they hadn't performed such services for large cities,
mm-hmm.
and another group was, or at least one vendor was disqualified because they didn't report being able to show the data through maps.
So let me ask you this, then. A company that has never done a survey for large municipalities, how would they get that experience?
That's dependent upon their business model. They would have to decide how they would want to go out and get that experience.
I mean, if they wanted to try to get into this business, how would they penetrate that? If your RFP or RFQ or whatever you're using says that they have to have that experience, how would a company that does not have that experience bypass that barrier, overcome that barrier?
I'm not altogether sure how they would do that.
A couple of ways, obviously. One is to partner with someone who does a survey for a large city if they were to do that. Secondly, find a city that does not require you to have large city experience and select and be selected to work for that large city to do it, and or graduate up the scale and start with a medium-sized city and kind of elevate once you've proven your craft. So that would probably be some suggestions I would have for.
Okay. Let's see. I think that's pretty much it. I'm curious as to do you have the responses broken down by council district?
Yes, sir. And that data is made available to the council members. You can see both your raw data and you can see the like a compiled report for.
Do you have that with you?
No, sir.
You don't have that with you.
But okay. The information is posted and is available online right now.
Okay. I'm just curious as to how many went out to District 7 and how many responses you received. I'm curious about that.
I can provide that information to you in a report.
I would
for
appreciate
just the last administration in 2016.
Whenever the last survey was, I would be curious about that. How many went out, how many were returned, and what the responses look like. I'd like to know, you know, how District 7 is being surveyed and what their response is. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins. Oh. And by the way, I think I made the right call. Now I come back. I thought it would be this 2 seconds. So, Mr. Atkins, no, this wasn't a comment about you. I was just talking about if everybody criticized me for breaking up for lunch. Mr. Atkins.
Well, I take 2 seconds. Number one, the survey is great, but for the last 5 or 6 years when we do the survey, that I still look at District 8 when we do it, I don't think the survey really tells a story of the district, and you're not reaching everyone in District 8 that's saying that this is the overall what the city, this quarter of life is about. So I prefer to have a survey done by district and see how that is done first, then put those together in each district. You do have 14 districts, and they're all different. Just my opinion.
Thank you, Mr. Carraway.
Thank you, Mayor. And let me just say that, you know, when you do a survey, is random, and it's kind of like a lottery, the same as when the radio stations do their mail-outs to do their ratings to see who's listening. So I clearly understand that. It could be, as what Mr. Atkins has said, that to the city manager, so that we can get a sampling, because it's only a sampling. And when you sample, you don't have to sample 5,000 people to get the opinion. Pretty much, it's a small, random number. So, as you said, by district, maybe if we divide 300 into 6,500, because we still got to be budget conscious. And maybe send it out district-wide like that, or order the people to send it out like that, you can get some type of random sampling as to what is going on in each and every one of our districts, okay? And, Mayor, I'd like to make a motion that we put Mr. Felder's address on his personally. I'm just saying, mess with Mr. Felder. So make sure that he gets the survey. Okay.